FBS arrangement.
Bad.
FBS arrangement.
Bad.
This is an unlawful gathering. This is an unlawful gathering.
The truth is out there. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is New Mania. This is the underground. This is New Mania.
Ranger fans, report the critical thinking hangar. Ranger fans, report the critical thinking hangar.
And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers. And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey. 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 This is New York Rangers.
I mean, like I said, I thought we had the puck on our stick a lot and couldn't find our next play quick enough. And they have a quick team, obviously, and good sticks and physical. But for us, we need to get our body over the puck a little bit more and a little bit more communication and just get confidence on the wall and get confidence with the puck on our stick. And it starts, like I said, communication will be helpful there and confidence as well.
Yeah, I know it's completely different seasons, but the fact that there was a rough, there were several rough patches last season, and AB shows patience, and he got through it. Can you lean on that?
Yeah, I think a little bit. I mean, I think we've got a lot of guys back. Went through that same thing, similar thing last year, but I think last year was a kind of a little bit more of a debacle than this year. And I really don't want to talk more about last year, because this is a group that we're trying to find our strength and find our game and our rhythm. And it's there in spurts, very little spurts, but as a whole, we need everybody to get in sync here.
It also seems like most teams, a home opener, all the introductions, it seems that it's natural at them. Was part of the whole, introductions and getting started late, does that factor into anything?
No, I don't think so. We had a good excitement, and you take a couple penalties there, and it kind of kills the momentum of the team when they capitalize on that. When it doesn't go well, you want to try and make an impact out there as a player and as a team in the line. Sometimes you think a little bit too much and look for something a little bit better than going to our south. And for us, it's about being simple there, not trying to force it and get back to our strength.
Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/blueshirtunderground. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Today is Monday, October 13th. My name is Jim, and as always, I am joined by my co-host and friend, Eddie. Eddie, how are you?
Doing good. Got used to that new opening there. It's pretty good. I like what Ryan McDonough had to say. I like the fact he used one of our words, debacle.
Debacle, right? right out of our book.
Yeah, I mean, it was a debacle last year. And I like the fact he says, let's talk about next year. We got a whole new group. He's a new captain.
And a whole new debacle.
You got a whole new debacle. But I like that he's talking semi. I mean, he started kind of like, giving us a little soft soap there and a little dance, and then he got more into it. And who was that buffoon who asked about, do you think it was the opening introductions? I mean, give it a break. It's what happens between the face-off dots and whatever. It has nothing to do with that. Those guys have been introduced a million times in their lives playing with each other. That had nothing to do with it. It was a disgusting walk.
Well, I'll agree with you, but And we'll get back to we'll start at the top in a minute. But I was listening to NHL Network over the weekend, and there's actually a stat where teams on their home openers, their record is not good. It's not what you'd think. And they were actually talking about if these these opening nights are kind of a letdown. I don't know if you watched the Kings on the night they raised the banner, which I'm going to talk about as well in a minute. But they went out and got shellacked by the Sharks, who were the Sharks are, you know, beginning their historic march to being the best team in the West and going out in the first round as usual. But so I don't know. You know, we all remember they lost. They lost the night they hoisted the banner in '95. They played flat hockey that night. I know you don't make excuses.
You're really reaching for questions when you're saying you think it might have been the introductions you had to wait. It's the Toronto Maple Leafs. They should have ran a team out of the building. The Maple Leafs stink.
Well, granted, if that was the beginning of the Ryan McDonough interview, and by the way, I'll give a shout out to Sports Talk New York, 5:40 a.m. for the audio, because that's where I creatively acquired it from. If that was the very beginning of Ryan McDonough's interview with the press, and that was the second question out of the gate, do you think it was the whole opening? I mean, you know, yeah. Then it's a little, it's a bit lame.
Oh, I could ask a thousand different questions. You know, why your goaltender stunk up the joint? I said it. You want to talk about a debacle?
Whoa.
Laid a giant stink bomb in net. They still would have lost. But still, we were talking about it before the show. I mean, you want to get a crowd real quiet. I mean, the one constant with the Rangers is if you go to a Ranger game, Henrik Lundqvist is going to be great. And once he goes south, the fans are like, uh-oh. We're in for it. I mean, I don't know if you guys agree. I know me and Jim are in agreement. And listen, we all know that Henrik is great. And he does have off nights. And I thought last night was an off night. I still think they wouldn't have won. They didn't play a consistent game. Oh, relax. The Maple Leafs stink. It's panic time. I had to watch Don Cherry flip out Saturday when they lost, saying, they don't draft anybody from the OHL. There's no Canadian boys on this team. They only draft guys from Sweden and the USHL. There's no Canadian boy. I'm going, wait a minute. You know what, Don? The Rangers, who predominantly get free agents of the Swedish and the Norway and predominantly draft from the USHL, got to the Stanley Cup last year. So don't be bashing just because you don't have a number of OHL guys out there, Don. They were ready to hang freaking Brendan Shanahan Saturday, and all of a sudden they beat the Rangers and Cutter's going wild? Give it a break. That team stinks.
Cutter was spotted running through the streets of Kitchener naked late last night by some well-placed sources that we have in Kitchener.
I mean, when do I care about the Leafs? I care at least when I got to watch Don Cherry spew his bullshit about how, you know, it's that whole it's hockey's Canada's game and we have Canadian boys. You get the best players. You don't care where they're from.
Exactly.
Such an idiot. Anyway, and I got to watch him lose.
How many Euros did the Red Wings have when they were winning those cups?
Yeah, it's all that old school mentality of these old guys over 60.
And players just from the blonde countries.
Right. Yeah. And you're right, John Mono. Let's get down to it. Let's get down to beeswax.
Let's start with opening night against the Blues. We'll start high, we'll ride high, and then we'll come crashing down to Ryan McDonough's debacle. Opening night, big 3-2 win over the Blues. The Marty St. Louis, Kreider, Nash line, 6 points between the three of them. I like the fact that the Blues are a good team. At least I think they are. Good team.
Oh, they are.
They are
a good team.
And they were in their home opener. And they kept fighting back, and the Rangers were able to, you know, I thought it said a lot that the Rangers weren't just happy with a point on the road. And they get a late goal from Ricky Lee Nash, of all people, who had 2 goals on opening night on his historic march to 45 goals, as Justin is on record as saying. I still think he's on crack, but But good for him. Good for everybody. So I like the way they played Thursday.
Yeah, they showed a lot of moxie. Loved Kreider's goal. Right, that was game one. The breakaway. Was it game two?
Oh, can't remember.
I don't know. Anyway, that line looked really good. And how about the chocolate Duclair? I mean,
chocolate
Duclair.
There.
We're going there. It's a, that's not offensive to chocolate Duclair. You know, chocolate's not negative. Sometimes you like
excuse
the vanilla.
Me while I whip this out.
The Midnight Rider, whatever you want to call him, the Black Flash, the Duke. I mean, he looked good opening game. He looked like he was right back in the. You know, he was right back in the mix. Like, he was never, you know, like, that was not his first game. The guy doesn't show any nerves. I like him. I mean, what's not to like? And he's had some opportunities afterwards. So the St. Louis game was very satisfying. You know, they go on the road. Winning in St. Louis is not an easy thing to do. That's a solid team. They're a big team. At least they're known for being bigger and rough. The Oshie Zuccarello fight. Zuccarello fight. I didn't know
what courage
was going on there. Yeah,
all
really.
I can think of was your line. What courage? Oh, that's courageous. Oshie picks on Zuccarello, and then who else? Somebody else in that game that's really really small on the Rangers was getting picked on. And I was like, oh, they're going after all our big guys.
Stempniak, maybe. Stemper.
I don't remember that, but Zook held his own in that fight for about the first 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And then he turtled faster than Sean Avery.
Yeah. Listen, TJ Oshie's not a bruiser either, let me tell you.
No, he's only 5'11".
He's
not a big guy.
I mean, if he gets 20 minutes a year, that's big. He got like half his penalty minutes of that fight.
It was the two shootout specialists going at it.
Yeah. That's funny. I didn't think of it that way. Yeah, so you should have a shootout, then a brawl, and then it's be
right.
All like
the
old superstars, the competition, then like a obstacle course, whatever. So yeah, you know, and that kind of triggered something with me, as far as Zuccarello goes, and I think how the Rangers will be approached by other teams is that these other teams that got ousted in the playoffs and then got chance to see the Rangers in the playoffs and see them in the Stanley Cup have really gotten a good look at who the Rangers are and what their players are about. And I think what they notice with Zuccarello is he won't back down. He'll slash you in the ankles if you push him. And I think they know, they respect him more, and they also notice him more on the ice. And it seems like he's garnered a lot of that attention so far, where they know that he's a little bit chippy. As much as what I think Kreider as well, who's, you know, gotten a little bit of the reputation of being a guy in front of the net, I think these teams know the Rangers a lot better than they did beforehand. And there's a target on them right now. Until we get into the season where, you know, if the Rangers are in third place or whatever, you know, then it will fade away from people's mind. But the first time around, people know the Rangers and they know who's the good guys, and they, you know, they certainly, you know, the guys that have remained, I think teams got a pretty good idea, and I think they're getting up for them. I know for a fact they talked to one of the Maple Leafs, you know, before the game, and he was like, yeah, we watched them in the playoffs, and, you know, we know what they're about. We're looking forward to playing them. So, you know, the Rangers have that moniker on them right now.
You know, you were talking about the Blues being big and tough. Did you see that? I can't think of his first name. Christopher Reeves there. Did you see him plow John Moore into the boards? Nailed him. Reeves, he is a big dude. And he just flattened John Moore. I didn't think John Moore was going to get up. But yeah, I mean, I like the way they came back in that game. you know, kept.
No, that was a good way. That was just like right where we left off. I mean, just Hart coming to play.
Right.
And then, you know, again, it's only three games. And I guess if you want to talk about game two, which I don't want to make any excuses, but that was an awfully officiated game. I mean, that was, terrible refereeing in that game. I mean, Rangers were getting penalties when they shouldn't have, and they were not getting. And that was the game where Kreider took the, right, I think Kreider took that 17 minutes for the instigator coming to the defense of Zuccarello. But I think, again, people are starting to engage him a little bit more, maybe to get him off his game, or they know that he, you know, he likes to mix it up a little. That also killed the Rangers. I didn't think that was a great penalty by Kreider. He's got to know that's not his role. I mean, it came at the end of the second period, and he's out for 17 minutes. I mean, that's nuts.
And, yeah.
Yeah, and that's right. Howie says it's Scott Hartnell with that asshole. He's an asshole, that guy. And he's hitting people after the whistle, nothing. So,
I would take Scott Hartnell on the Rangers in a heartbeat.
I'd take him over Tanner Glass. A heartbeat, I don't know. The Columbus game again. Now, well, Dan Boyle goes out in the first game, 14 minutes as a Ranger, and he's got a broken hand. Welcome to New York, Dan.
See you in December.
So then now the defense, which is the problem as far as I'm concerned, is all like, it's all schmoed up. Because now you got guys moving up. I still didn't understand what the pairings were going into last night's game, because I would see Moore and Hunwick, and then I would see Klein with Moore, and then Hunwick with Stahl, and then, like, it was all a mess as far as I'm concerned. And then they brought up the Koska, the crazy Greek, which he was the most least impressive guy I saw in all of training camp.
Yeah.
And that's the guy they're going with as the replacement? I mean, I certainly saw better guys in the preseason than him. So, but
was that, you think that was just a matter of them going with a guy that had at least a little bit of NHL experience?
Yep.
For all the good it does?
I think that's what it is. It's basically saying, you know, we're just going to go with a guy that we know that has played some and can get through a game, at least, has gotten through some NHL games.
Yeah, you know, the more I think about it, you know, if you look at their top four defensemen as McDonough and Boyle, when he's back, McDonough, Boyle, Stahl, and Girardi. John Moore, I don't know about this guy. I'm not seeing the progression.
I was the only one here. I got yelled at for saying that he's not a sixth defenseman. I think we could do better than him. Oh, no, Ed, you're wrong.
Who told you that?
Everybody.
I've ever flat out told you you're wrong about when it comes to your opinion.
You know, I'm overstating
it. I'm just not seeing any progression in his game yet.
It's
early.
They don't have anybody better right now. I don't think, you know, I just think that as Girardi has been a byproduct of last year playing with McDonough, I think Moore has been a little bit of a byproduct playing with Kevin Klein, who I think is solid. But do I think Kevin Klein's a number four defenseman? No. I don't think he's going to make that step. And Stahl is not off to a very good start either. I mean, this is only three games. And see, you know, I'm not throwing the baby out of the bathwater here. I'm just analyzing the three games. So in that second game, they were pressed to kind of scramble on defense, and I thought they had some breakdowns defensively, and Columbus capitalized them. Now, you can't stop Nick Foligno for some reason. Apparently, this guy is a world beater against the Rangers. Fetatutin is, what a great acquisition he was. I mean, you know, Fetatutin, he's been like 10 years at Jacket. I feel like I was watching all the X-Ray. Even Tim Erickson was out there for Columbus. You know? And Artie scored. And how about you guys?
No rifle.
And you, Jim, No rifle. But were you kind of surprised he went with Cam Talbot?
Or did you just thought, well, you know, that it's back-to-back games? And
well, I just thought it made good sense because they were playing Saturday and Sunday, and then they play again tomorrow night, don't they? Tomorrow night's against the Islanders. So it just made sense that, even though it was only game two, that he was going to have to try and work Cam in here somewhere along the line. Of course, not knowing that Cam would have to come in last night and stop the bleeding. I thought it was actually a good move to play him against Columbus. But he was bad Cammer on Saturday night. He was truly the Huntsville horror.
Yeah, I mean, there were some shots, you know. Just like McDonough said in the opening and when he was at, they're not in sync. The whole team, there are a couple guys who are playing, I think, pretty well, but they're not that well-oiled machine that we saw in the playoffs at all.
And I think it'll be a lot like last. I mean, you know, plus it doesn't help that their definition of their number one center is hurt and out until, I guess, the end of November. It doesn't help that one of their main defensemen is out until probably December. You know, those things hurt. And for all the worry about Martin St. Louis being a center, he's second on the team in faceoffs at 50%. I would have signed up for that 50% on faceoffs from him because I know I ain't getting it from Stepan. I got my notes in front of me here. I got a board I put up with some things I wanted to talk about tonight. I made my own stink. We're going big time.
This is great.
I wrote on every week now. I'm going to try and remember to do a stinkometer, and who's high on the stinkometer? Right now, the high on the stinkometer is Phoebe Klein. I've had I'm not liking him so far. And everybody that takes a face off on this team, even Keith McElroy said
last
Thomas night.
Moore's been pretty good, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's 55, almost 56%.
Yeah, that's good.
Keith McElroy said last night, I can't remember this team winning one face-off so far this season. I mean, can't they hire somebody, a consultant, to come in and work with them on face-offs? Anybody? I mean, you know, we got Osby to work with the defense. We got Skardar Niels, who's got to watch god-awful video of bad power play. Can't we bring in a consultant that was, I don't know.
Well, the Rangers have
Kelly
a lot
Kitsio
of guys.
What's Kelly Kitsio doing? It's got to be mechanics because these guys that are playing center, with the exception of St. Louis, have all been centers their entire careers. So it's got to be so they've taken faceoffs and somebody must have thought they were good at it at some point that they put them at center. Because a center that can't take faceoffs to me is like a quarterback whose only downside is he can't throw very far. I mean,
yes, yeah. I certainly.
Dave Brown.
Not even talking about. I don't even want to talk about anything football related. It is
anyway.
So horrible.
But that was a problem last year when they got to the Cup. So maybe it's not as. But it would be nice. It would be nice that we could have somebody who could win face-offs. And, you know, it's like what I told Russ Cohen. He's like, Rangers are going to miss Stepan on the face-offs. I was like, what? Miss him? But maybe he was right. There's worse guys than Stepan on face-offs.
But Marty's been better.
Right. I mean, Marty has been really good. People complain about him. Saw that Columbus game. That was their Stanley Cup. The fans going crazy. Were they chanting CBJ? I couldn't figure out what they were chanting after each goal.
I don't know.
So they were excited. Listen, they have a reason to be excited. And Bobrovsky was good when he had to be. Let's face it, he played a pretty good game. Not as good as Joe Micheletti would let you know. But he's no slouch in net. But again, guys were spotty, you know, and then the guys that played well, again, were the first line, and I thought Lee Stepniak has been excellent so far. I mean, he's just what the doctor ordered.
But that, when you say that, I mean, again, with trying to keep in context, it's three games. But when you say in Lee Stepniak, what a surprise, it's not really indicative of, like, you know, playing really well, you know. But I like to see it. I like to see the, and I don't think Dominic Moore has been as noticeable. I think it's because it's a whole new line mate situation for him.
Yeah.
So, and then last night they had that stinker against Toronto, where it was, you know, just, you watched the whole game. I watched the whole game, but usually you had the Giants on, and then you went. You said you pretty much watched the whole. What was your summation of that?
Well,
debacle?
let me finish my last thought on the Columbus game. The thing that bothered me most about the Columbus game is that the Rangers looked like they had no legs. No legs, Lieutenant Dan. It looked like it took them about halfway through the game before they really found their skating legs. And I didn't understand how that could be in game two. How they, you know, they just looked slow. They looked slower than Columbus most of the night. And it looked like they were losing every battle. Columbus came to play. And I didn't think the Rangers, you know, it was one of those infamous or famous, whatever you want to call it, Ranger games where the Rangers don't show up until it's too late.
Yes. And there were parts of that game where the Rangers got hemmed in their zone, which happened last night too, which we're not used to seeing since the late, great John Tortorella left the city.
Right.
You know, and there have been a lot of breakdowns and a lot of guys that just been wandering around. And I think I remember getting really mad at Jesper Fast in game two for a bad back check on a goal. And I want to try to remember who scored that. It might have been, I think it might have been Cam Atkinson's goal. But he was just kind of lazy on the back check and didn't pick the guy up, and the guy passed it right to him and he scored. So, yeah, I don't think the effort was there like we're used to seeing. But this
that also happened against the Blues. Fast lost the puck along the boards, and he just kind of lollygagged it back into the defensive zone, and it led to a goal. And then Girardi lost in space on a goal in the St. Louis game too. But Fast, I think now he's done that twice.
Yeah, I mean, for a guy who's been touted for his defensive responsibility, and listen, again, we're keeping it in context. It's three games. I'm not about to crucify anybody, put anybody on the cross yet.
Nah.
Although, you know,
not mad, not yelling.
Yeah, good to vent and bitch. I mean, that always.
I do have
better.
A rant, but it's not at the players.
So you know, yeah, exactly. I think it's just it's a complete. They're unorganized on the ice, and I think it's a lot of it has to do with the injuries, and that you know, not many teams have depth that they can, you know. I mean, I'm not like Micheletti saying I think the Rangers have the best five and six pairing in the league. I mean, I don't know every five and six pairing in the league, but if John Moore and Kevin Klein are the best five and six,
imagine who the worst are.
It's got to be the Flyers if they have Del Zotto and somebody.
Yeah.
Del Zotto.
Del Zotto minus four in one game the other night. Woo!
Yeah. Welcome back.
That Liam fell out of that chair watching that.
Little boy Liam.
Almost didn't go there. I almost didn't go there.
Hey, listen, if I can do the chocolate Duclair and my other new nickname, Attila the Hunwick, it's another one of my. I don't know if that'll stick because I don't know if Matt Hummel will actually stick.
Yeah.
Although I could see why they went with him. He did have a good camp. That's why I was kind of surprised that they went. But again, I think it's what you said. They basically went with guys that they knew that maybe they could get away with that have played in the NHL and won't completely fold. You know.
That's my guess. You know. Early in the season, you stick with, you know, you go with guys that are tested until everybody can get a good look at the youngsters. That's just my guess. And that would bring us to last night's. We'll get to last night's debacle, in the words of the of our captain Ryan McDonough. Who, by the way, one of the reasons why I wanted to play that clip was not just to play the clip, and but I thought he sounded like a captain, speaking like a captain. You know, he's very. I don't know. I liked what I heard. I liked what he had to say, and I liked that he said that. You know, look, we're not talking about last year anymore, and you know, enough. I like that. You know, that's a little, to me, that sounds like, you know, this is a new year and this is my team now. You know, I'm over here now. I was over there and now I'm over here now.
Right.
I like that.
And he sounds a lot of like Chris Drury did, commanded that. That cap.
Yeah. I almost couldn't tell the difference. I really thought it was
a fine captain. Sam Rosen called. Actually, yearning for Sam, I have to steal John Monotone, but go ahead, yes.
So, Ed, to answer what you were saying before, I had this all planned out because, you know, of course, I had concurrent shit shows on TV last night, at least after 5:30 Arizona time. But the Rangers were on NHL Network here, and they use the Canada feed, which is no longer Hockey Night in Canada. It's no longer CBC. Now it's Rogers Sportsnet, and they got this dumb studio show, Hometown Hockey, and Gary Galley is one of the announcers. He couldn't have been any more anti-Ranger. He sounded like he really just hates the Rangers, but that's besides the point. So I got the Rangers game on TV, and I'm watching the Giants game on my iPad, and the Rangers are down, you know, it's 2-0, it's 3-0, and then, you know, Hank's giving up one goal after another, and then the Giants game is going horrible. I shut the Giants off in midway through the third quarter, and then I made a joke. I think the Rangers are going to outscore the Giants tonight, and they did. Rangers got a field goal. Giants couldn't even muster that. I watched the entire Ranger game out of loyalty to this program. Otherwise, I would have shut that off too. And you know, I thought, well, I guess they were down 4-1, and I think it was still the second. It was still the second period. And then they scored, and I made it. They made it 4-2, and I thought, okay, maybe they're gonna get back into this a little bit. Maybe Toronto will become Toronto again, and you know, we'll get rolling. But then I realized that the entire team left with Rick Nash to go be at his wife's bedside to have the baby, and that was it. Like 10 seconds later, it's 5-2, and then it's 6-2, and then off he goes with the couch cushions, you know, and in comes the Alabama Slammer to stop the bleeding. So it was dual shit shows. I should have had Jamie Farr and J.P. Morgan, J.P. Morgan and Charles Nelson Riley in the room, getting up to bang the gong halfway through my night last night. It's just like, fuck it. I'm going to Walmart to get pound cake.
It was a pound cake night. Yeah.
I had to get that. It was a Sara Lee pound cake night. It was so bad.
Oh, listen.
Look, it's better than last year. Losing 9-0 in the third game of the season. So,
right, it's
a lot of new parts. Got guys hurt. I'm not overly concerned.
No, I'm not. I hope that they just have the right parts. That's the problem. Is that, you know, I've been watching on a game by game basis, trying to evaluate these guys, and it usually takes me a good month and a half before I really know. And there's certain guys that I like, you know, after game two, I said, where's Broussard? I mean, this guy's, you know, they pay him all this money, but then he winds up scoring last night. So he kind of took the pressure off. I think he's even been frustrated, you know, with the lack of scoring or his line's lack of scoring. But, you know, he's responsible for that. He's the center ice, but I don't know why he's so frustrated. I mean, he's playing with Zuccarello. I don't know. So it's
And the injuries have not made things anything easier.
No.
And you've got Dan Boyle and Stoll. They're trying to work out their communication and how they're going to play together. And I thought last night the Rangers started the game doing something they did all last year, but they hadn't done in the first two games, and that was defensemen joining the play. Defensemen were coming in, rushing the puck. That's when the Rangers play their best. And the Rangers didn't do much of that in the playoffs last year, but when the Rangers had the most success last year, I thought during the regular season, is when they play what Vigneault has designed, and that's defensemen jumping into the play. That hasn't happened yet. I mean, it started a little bit in that Toronto game, but then they fell behind, and they kind of got away from that. So they need to do more of that. But until these guys are healthy, you really can't implement that. Dan Boyle, who's part of the power play, who's part of that kind of thinking, is not going to be here for 6 weeks. So it's hard to play when, you know, now you got Kevin Klein playing with Mark Stoll, who Mark Stoll, frankly, to me, has struggled the first three games, which I think has made Klein look bad. Klein hasn't looked good himself. John Moore hasn't looked good. Girardi's played okay. But he's still a minus three for three games. And, you know, McDonough's been McDonough, but I think the problems have been a lot of defensive breakdowns. And also, you're right, there are the Rangers aren't have that constant forecheck. But I think we were a little bit spoiled in the playoffs. We're certainly not going to see that kind of intensity you would like to. I think the Rangers prove that they're a hardworking team, but you're not going to be seeing that heavy forecheck, but you would like to see it out of at least the fourth line. I want to see that, you know, and I haven't seen that yet. So that's where I am is I'm not panicking, but I want to know where everybody fits. So
right,
that's where I am, you know. And the goaltending hasn't been great except for the first game. So I mean, it is. They're 1-2. That's what it is. They're 1-2. You know, you can fret about all this and that, and I'm sure a couple phone calls we have here that are going to, you know, expose some of the weaknesses in the first three games. But it is only three games.
Exactly, which is why, you know, everybody's...
But it's good to vent. That's what I say. I love this show because I get to vent. It gets all out, and then I'm ready to start over again. Yeah, but we know tomorrow night, big game.
Yeah, and you know, and that's one of those games that'll get everybody set off.
That's right. You know. That's a
it's all fun and games until they lose
get on
to the
ledge.
Islanders
or the Devils. Get on the ledge.
It's worse if they lose to the Islanders. I think a Ranger fan will always have the mentality that the Rangers should never, ever, ever lose to the Islanders. Ever.
Well, they had a parade down Hempstead Turnpike today. I mean, they think they got... Oh, they were flipping out. Oh, how the fans have turned out. They've been here since they're tailgating for Carolina. Fans are outside, and Johnny Boychuk's looking outside the Marriott saying, oh, my God, what a happening this is to be in Nassau and to deal with the enthusiasm. And I swear, I watched some of that game, and every time they took a shot of the people in the crowd, those guys are the ugliest, weirdest-looking motherfuckers. Every fan of them. It's like that video I did. That they're all like some deranged mental patients, the infirm.
Like American Horror Story, Nassau Coliseum.
Exactly. American Horror Story. I'm the fans. I mean, it's great. I mean, they are some ugly people. I mean, they're weird. They're like, and listen, I live out here, you know, so I know. Certainly know. And they are ecstatic about to break up the aisles. Johnny Boychuk, his new Bobby Orr, and Nick Leddy, and Kyle Okpozo, and what's his face? Who's the guy that they're hyping up? He's finally found out. Brock Nelson. Oh, he's Phil Esposito now. Brock Nelson. He's finally the player we want. And Ryan Strome. Oh, yes. Get out of here. I mean, Tavares is great. Tavares is one of those guys that makes everybody better. I mean, you know, kind of like Pozo should give him like half his paycheck. So, again, that tomorrow's a get-on-the-ledge game. They lose tomorrow, and you're right, because the Devils do have some winning pedigree the last 25 years, whereas the Islanders have been a laughingstock and continue to be a laughingstock. I don't care how many wins they throw up in the first three games. Yeah, you play Carolina every game, you dummies. So, if the Rangers lose tomorrow, we might have to do a tomorrow night show just to get everybody crazy, get a, you know, make everybody feel better, but we'll see. We'll see what's happening.
All right, you want to go to the phones? I'll
yeah,
tell you what,
I
here, let's take a quick break here, and then we will get to the phones. All right, we'll be back in a minute. Blue Shirt Underground Radio is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com. A leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment information. They have over 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing this show on right now. And if you sign up at our URL, which is www.audibletrial.com/blueshirtunderground, you'll get one free audiobook and a one-month free trial of the service. You can pick up books like Game of My Life, where Ranger greats such as Mark Messier, Frank Boucher, and Jaromir Jagr talk to the late John Halligan about their favorite Ranger memories. Or you can pick up The Bronx Zoo, an inside story of the 1978 New York Yankees and one of the best sports books ever written. And yes, Game of Thrones fans, you can even pick up the Game of Thrones series by George R.R. Martin. So sign up today, support Blue Shirt Underground, sign up for your free trial at www.audibletrial.com/blueshirtunderground. Eddie and I will be back in just a minute. All right. So, there you have it. Let's go, Eddie, are you back with me?
Yes.
All right. We're back
right
here on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Thank you all for being with us. Phone number to call in is 646-478-4692. A belated, happy Canadian Thanksgiving to our Canadian listeners. Now, does that mean if yesterday was Canadian Thanksgiving, Eddie, does that mean that today is the day that Canadians go out and trample each other for $200 TVs? I didn't hear any of that. Do they
sure.
riot, loot,
they
kill each other for
TVs? Have a
Black
Friday up there?
Well, it would be Black Tuesday. Or do they just wait for our Black Friday and trample each other then? I don't know.
Well, they have
what
Boxing
do they do?
Day, right? Isn't Boxing Day their Christmas? So
no.
I don't even know.
The day after Christmas, I think, is Boxing Day. I don't know. I was just wondering if, you know, today they have a Black Tuesday and they all go shopping and kill each other at Canadian Walmarts throughout Moose Jaw and Manitoba.
Yes. And Red Deer, Ontario.
All right. 646-478-4692, the number. Let's go to the phones. I believe this is Rock. Rock, how are you?
What's up, gentlemen? How are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. I was at the game last night, unfortunately, it was a shit show, to say the least. The place was cleared out pretty much by the end of the second period. I would say half the building was empty. A lot of Leafs fans, as you would expect for a weekend game with, you know, Columbus Day being the next day, and a lot of people with days off and whatnot. So there were a lot of Leafs fans, unfortunately, there. You know, I mean, it's a shame because, I mean, they came out against St. Louis and you know, it was such a gratifying win on a lot of levels because the Rangers have had such a hard time beating that Blues team. Lundqvist had never beaten them before. So they come out, you know, they blow the lead twice. but they still find a way to win, and you love the way Nash was playing, and they look like they had picked up kind of where they left off last year. And then they go out and they lose to a Columbus team that has no Dubinsky, no Boone Jenner, no Nathan Horton. Ryan Johansson had no training camp. To come out and get moves to that team who have no offense, and to let these scrubby guys score goals on them, to me is a disgrace. I mean, you want to turn around and blame a lot of the game on Talbot. Talbot should have had the first goal. He's kind of wearing the rust off. I pray to God he's not a one-year wonder. That last year wasn't just an admiration, that maybe teams now figured him out. I don't know. I'm praying that that's not the case. I don't know if he's still hurt. Whatever. And then to lose to that Maple Leafs team that was absolutely just floundered the last two games. It's just terrible. It's just horrible. I mean, I can understand. You want to lose to Boston. I mean, to come out in your home opener against a shitty team like Toronto. I mean, with freaking James Reimer in that, and not even Bernier's playing. James Reimer's in goal. It just sat with me the wrong way. And if this team thinks that they're going to coast through the season, that teams are going to lay over for them now, they're on the radar. Teams don't think that every other team says, look, the Rangers made it to the friggin' finals last year, now anyone can make it. I mean, you know, they're going to be looking. It's the truth.
I think they saw the Rangers individually and saw, and I agree with you, I think they got a good look at the Ranger team because they were on TV. I mean, all the time. They went all the way to the play, all the way to the cup. And I think teams are not going to take them lightly.
Right.
They know who the Rangers are.
No, I agree. And the guy I'm telling you now, they're going to miss more than ever, and I'm not – is
oh.
Anton Strowman. I'm telling
oh,
you right now. That's
what Micheletti said.
Top four defense.
Micheletti in the preseason, Rangers pretty much have stayed the same way on their defense. They really didn't get hurt because they only lost their number four guy. And I'm like, you know what? Anton Strowman was their second best defenseman last year. Other than McDonough, he's the number two guy on the team. So I knew it was going to be a downgrade.
You know, it's unfortunate. Yeah, I agree. But it's unfortunate.
We expected Dan Boyle going out, you know, 14 minutes as a Ranger. Now everything, they're in scramble mode. And that's how they are on the ice. They're in scramble mode.
Yeah, and, you know, for everybody that was being called for Rafael Diaz to come back, you know.
I would have taken him back.
He wanted to play. He didn't want to be the seventh defenseman, according to what Larry Brooks wrote. Because Steve Zappe, you know, it kills me that these beat writers are clueless. I know you guys made it. I couldn't
remember. Didn't he do it just as a reference? Just so we get the song going?
I was waiting for that.
Well, let me ask you something, Rock. Were you settled on John Moore as a bona fide sixth guy, or were there some questions in your mind before the season started?
It's funny because I was talking to we took the train into the city, me and my buddy, and we were talking about that going in, and I said, I think this is a big year for him. I think it's a gigantic year for him. What worries me with him is he's not a big dude. He's not a big guy. You know, and I haven't seen the offensive side come out, because if you're not going to be a physical player, you have to have maybe some kind of bring something offensively. So I'm not really sure yet what he is. He's 22, 23 years old. You know, sometimes these defensemen take a little bit longer to develop. You know, I'm not ready to get rid of him because you still have him locked in at a lower amount. But I honestly believe that it's not only John Moore, there's a lot of guys, a lot of rookies on this team, I think, eventually are going to have to need to step up and to do something. I mean, we saw in the preseason, not only, you know, we saw JT Miller play well, we saw Jasper Fox play well. Those two guys have been invisible for the first three games of the season. And you need to get something out of those guys. Now, listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm a giant Ryan Malone fan, but the power play has been dreadful. You can't mean to tell me that the guy can't play on your fourth line and play on the
power play and stand
in front of the friggin' net.
Well, that's been the enigma to me. I don't know what's up with him. Is he a healthy scratch? Is he hurt? I know he's banged up.
He's a healthy scratch.
Well, that's a bad decision.
And I agree with you. According to Vigneault, He said the other day, well, I don't know where Ryan Malone fits on this team right now.
What?
That's what his comments were. If you go back and
what?
It was before one of the games. I forgot what game it was.
He doesn't know where
exactly.
He fits.
Exactly.
He fits in front of the net. You know what? Now this isn't going to ignite me, Rock.
Here we go.
You know, listen, it's three games in, and, you know, I don't want to go explode yet. But all I hear is JT Miller from all those fans out there, JT Miller this, JT Miller. What does he do? Give me one thing that JT Miller does well.
37% on faceoffs.
Well, you didn't win any the first game, I know that.
I'm not ready to throw him off, but you got to tell me after the disgusting loss in Columbus, where Fast hasn't been back-checking all that well, which is supposed to be like his forte at least. Mm-hmm. I don't see these guys getting – I know they're not playing on the top lines, but get some opportunities. Generate something. They don't want to change. They can't put in Ryan Malone in there, a guy that might mix things up, who had, by the way, a really good preseason.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if AV just has a hard-on for him and he just doesn't want him. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I mean, I know he plays center, but I mean, he's a big guy.
Yeah. And I thought Hayes played solid. I thought Hayes played for his first professional game. He didn't look out of place.
Yes, and that's all you want. That's all you want right in his first game.
Right.
But I'm a little. Now you tell me. I don't. If that's what AV said, and I do trust you, Rock. You're a longtime caller of this show, according to Larry Brooks. Who has made some ridiculous comments, and I'll get to that a little bit later. But still,
right.
I mean, you can't find a place. The guy, he looked great in preseason.
Yeah.
His place from the net on the power play, you jerk.
I think he's going to play tomorrow night. I think against the Islander team tomorrow night, I have a feeling he's going to wind up playing tomorrow night. So, and I agree with you. I think tomorrow – listen, they don't have to come out and blow the Islanders' door off, but just you got to show more of an effort than you've shown the last two games. I mean, I can understand you're not going to win every game, but be competitive. You know, no one thought the Rangers were going to go 82-0 after they beat the Blues. But
no,
you thought they would come out and show a little friggin' heart and show that they want to compete. But the last two games, they haven't shown that. And I'm glad you mentioned Derek Brassard because everybody's saying after he scored, oh, there he is. Because he hasn't been there for the first three games, but he's also the type of guy that he like needs time to like warm up. You don't see him the first couple of weeks of the season for whatever reason. He was the same way last year. He was invisible for the first 2 weeks of the season until that Detroit game where Pouliot scored in overtime.
By the way, I just want to throw this in. I have this in from Steve Cronin who just tweeted the show here. The Rangers have not won a home opener since 2009.
So next year, don't go.
But that was against Washington, I think, with Shanahan.
Thank you to Steve for bringing that to our attention.
Nice. I was actually told my friend that last night. I said, you remember the last time they won a home opener? I'm pretty sure it was when the first year they had Shanahan. I could be wrong, but I think that was the first year.
Well, I'll go to the stats desk.
Either that or no, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. They were against Florida, and it was the year they got Drury and Gomez. That was that year.
Well, it looks like
anyway, it's
irrelevant.
Yeah, I mean, it's three, like I said. But don't get crazy, Rock, because I know that you get crazy.
Well, you know what it is. I watch
don't
these,
get irregular.
These guys, I watch, yeah. I, you know what it is? I jones for this all summer, and Eddie, you know that. We've known each other for years now. We talk about this all the time. I don't care. I would have rather. They lost 3-2 yesterday. I'll be like, you know what? It was a game. It was what it was. But to just not to be listless. And they need to be better at home. We're horrible at home last year.
October 3rd, 2009, the Rangers defeated the Ottawa Senators at home. Oh. Vinny Prospel got the Rangers on the board. Delzato did score.
Yeah.
Remember that game. Wow. Final score, 5-2. 5-2. The Rangers got goals from Prospel, Dubinsky, Delzato, and one from Gabrick and a second goal from Dubinsky. Dubinsky had 3 points that night.
Wow. Nobody left. So yeah, we're not ready to jump off the bridge yet, but I just hope we just see a better effort tomorrow than we've seen.
I think Davey's a good coach. I got no problem with him. And you're going back to the Broussard thing. Listen, yeah, Broussard's a slow starter, but now he's getting paid pretty good money here.
Yeah.
That's why my focus is on him more. And you can't be saying, well, you know, he was a little discouraged about the offensive line. Well, you know what? He's part of that line. I mean, who'd they have him? They had him and Zuccarello, and who was the other winger they had him with the first couple games?
Haglin.
That's a pretty damn good line. I mean, but they
didn't
have
like Haglin in that spot.
And Zuccarello hasn't been Zuccarello yet either. But this, again, it's so early, but you want to see the effort. And I acknowledge that, and I had to sit, because I watched that Hockey Night in Canada game, and they were excoriating the Leafs. It was a national embarrassment. They wanted to hang Brendan Shanahan. This team is awful. I'm like, the Rangers are going to roll tomorrow. They just got to show up. And then that happened. Imagine, like, of course, you went to the game and had to see that, which is even more disgusting. At least me and Jim had the option to turn it off. It looks like a lot of people left in the second period. Like,
oh, my God. I can't believe how many people left. I've never seen
now,
I've never seen that before. The place empty out that fast.
Now, let me ask you a question, because Dance and Larry Brooks wrote something earlier in his preview of the Rangers that he stated that Ranger preseason crowds are more intense during the late regular season and early playoff games. Now, I know season ticket holders very rarely go to the preseason games. Did you attend any preseason games this year?
I attended two of them. I attended the first two, the double game and the Philly game. And I'll be honest with you, the attendance was pretty damn good for both games. I was very surprised.
But what about the level of volume and...
Because you had a lot of... It was a very weird crowd, I have to say. It was just a very... what was that?
Those form-looking people in the crowd? And
yeah, God, this very, like, strange... I had six hipsters sitting in front of me at one game. And, you know, you got a lot of, like, clueless fans that I guess can't afford to go to the games, like, on a regular basis, and they start spewing shit, and you don't even know what... They don't even know what the hell they're talking about. And, So it was weird, but I'll tell you, there were a lot more people there than I've seen in the past. Because I usually go to the preseason. Because we haven't had a preseason game at the Gardens in 4 years, or 3 years, because of the renovation.
Oh, that's
so,
right.
That was the other thing. But I think people were happy with how
Larry Brooks make that right there. That makes. What does he have it to compare to recent? But they haven't had preseason games.
Exactly. I guess looking back years past, but you also got to remember. Baseball, there's no baseball now. There was no baseball, really, at that point. Both baseball teams are out of it. The Jets and the Giants are what they are. I mean, and the one game, I think the Jets were playing a Monday Night Football, I think, against, and it was the Ranger Devil game, and the Garden was pretty packed for that game. I was very, very surprised at how many people were there for that game. So, I don't know. I don't know what he's pertaining it to.
I just wanted to ask your opinion, because, I mean, I know you're there.
Yeah, I mean, the fans were riled up the last night. I think they were fairly excited, and then when they came out and they stunk up the joint.
No, they didn't boo. I was surprised about that. How about you, Jim? Were you surprised that they did not boo Nash or Girardi?
Well, Nash is off to a good start, so they're not gonna boo him.
Yeah, but the playoffs. I was like, this guy, it's so easy for him to score. We used to. It killed me. Like, every shot that he had in the playoffs, I lived and died by. He couldn't put it in the freaking net. And now everything goes in. I'm going, what's the thing? Same thing with St. Louis, who I still think is kind of snake bit still. He can't get a break. I mean, he's making all these great plays, but it's like putting the puck in the net is still like a chore for him. And, you know, and then I see Nash scoring. Girardi played decent in the first game. I said, what happened? It doesn't make any sense to me. I never seen anything like it. But, do you... Well, you,
hey,
you'll
what
be
a, happened?
I mean, you'll be at the game tomorrow, won't you, Rock?
Yes. Yes, I will be there. I also think that the Rangers themselves have built up a little bit of credit with the fans right now because of the run they had last year.
Uh-huh.
I think fans are going to be a little bit more understanding of maybe some growing pains with, you know, some new faces and everything else. But I'll tell you, if there's a play like this in a month, I think that's all going to go out the window.
We hearkened on the negative. We should, certainly. Who right now? I'll do both positive and negative. Give me your top three guys you like so far in three games. We'll do a three game, and the top three guys that are on your shit list.
I think the way Nash has played him, and he has four goals, so I would have to put him up there. McDonough, obviously, and you know, I know it's only three games, but I like what I've seen from Duclair. I'm not ready to hand him, you know, I've seen this too many times with guys. I mean, we saw, if anyone remembers, Daniel Deneau came up like a ball out of fire, like a ball of fire, and he just fizzled out. So I need to see a bigger sample size, but I think he's had a lot of poise with the puck. You know, he picks his head up, he tries to make plays. I would say those are my top, the three that I'm most down on. I'm not going to pick on any of the rookies because I just think that, you know, I would probably put JT Miller just because of how well of a preseason he had. I would say he would be my number three guy just because we had to pick three people. But I would have said Brassard, and I would have said who was the third guy? I just had him on tip of my – I just lost my train of thought. Brassard, and I don't think Hagman's played well. I really don't. I haven't seen him. To me, when you have that kind of blazing speed, you have to be visible. Have you noticed him in any game?
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been offensively, no. See, I'm going to go. I'm
playing
with
on
Steven
your top
Nola.
Two lines. You have to be offensive. You're going to play on the top two lines. That's why I really think Haglund should be slated to play on the third line. That's just my own opinion.
Right.
I think Kreider should play with Pouliot. Excuse me. Kreider should play where Pouliot was with Zuccarello and Brassard, because it'll open up space for those guys so they can make plays. That's
right.
Where I think he fits better. I also don't like St. Louis as a center. I think when Stefan comes back, he'll probably, you know, move stuff around. But who knows?
Steven Nola and Howie right now. I like Nash, McDonough, and Stepniak. I think he's played.
Oh, yeah. You know what? You're right. You know what? I put him up there, too. You're right. I agree with that. That's a good one.
He looks
I knew
like
there was somebody else that I was missing.
He's a worker,
yeah.
That guy. He works, and they need guys like that. That's the kind of guys they had last year that got them to where they were, and they need those guys. And he's shown some offensive ability. He's not a total loss, and he's got a goal.
Two goals, yes. Yeah. So.
Bottom three from the chat room, John Moore, fast, and more of John Moore.
And we're really picking on the sixth defenseman. I hear you. I mean, I understand that he hasn't lived up to par. That's not a bad problem if one of our worst players is our sixth defenseman.
Right.
Yeah, but I think the expectations on him are high.
Oh, I agree. I agree. But he is our sixth defenseman.
Plus the problem is that every night he doesn't progress, the Gabrick trade just looks worse and worse. You know, we just with the gap that we, you know, just gets wider and wider.
Yeah, here's the statement.
The deficit.
That's a good point.
And I think that's,
I agree with,
you know, that's
I agree
part
with
100%. Of the problem.
No, I agree. Yeah. And I said that when they made that trade. I said this whole trade is hinged on whether John Moore turns out to be, you know, a top defenseman, a top-tier defenseman.
Right.
So I'm definitely on board with you with that. So.
No, yeah, but, it is. I never really acknowledged that, but that really is. He's the linchpin if that trade is even, at least. You know, I mean, we got Nasher, but it's, you know.
Call it Tom Podiatis.
I mean, if he winds up to be just Tim Erickson, we also dealt in that deal. And plus, I think Ranger fans had a lot of expectations 2 years ago. It was all up. Before last season, it was, oh, is it going to be another McDonough? Well, right now he's not a UB McDonough.
Good one. That's a good one.
Great reference.
UB was. But, no, that's all I could think of at the moment. But, yeah, you know, Rock, who you came in here blazing with all kinds of craziness and negativity, you do say, and if the sixth defenseman is a problem, problem is they really need these guys to play well. And I don't know if you heard what I said, but when they called up Koska, I said, that guy was the worst.
Yeah. He's like skating in quicksand. I mean I've never seen a guy slower than him. Maybe Kevin Hatchett
would give him a run for his money.
Yeah.
That's what kind of slowness is.
Mark Hardy. So. Yeah, I mean, he was like skating in quicksand. I was watching him play, but I think you guys said it. I think they're gonna exhaust all of these like journeyman defensemen first before they start bringing up anybody else that isn't gonna get a regular shift. That's just my own opinion. They're probably like, well, we'll ruin. You know, their careers are already ruined at this point. So who cares if they sit around like, you know, like Justin Falk did for half the season and not play? Where, like, guys like Connor Allen and McElrath and Matt Bodie, you want these guys playing. Because, right. You know, otherwise it's just going to stunt their development. So, I mean, it is what it is. But, like I said, tomorrow I think it's going to be a true test. If they lose tomorrow and they lose 3-2, I'm not going to come back next week and say, oh, this fucking team sucks. It's how they play and how they lose.
Right.
Exactly. So.
All right, Rob.
All right, gentlemen.
Good
have a great night. Great job. You too. I'll talk to you soon. Have a great night.
Take care.
Take care.
All right. We got another phone call on the line. I believe it's Stephen Nola, if I remember the area code correctly. But before we get to that, I just wanted to mention, Eddie, I don't know if you saw the picture that I posted on Facebook from the Panthers game tonight. Their announced crowd was 7,311. And if you look at the picture I posted on Facebook on my wall, there is no way in hell there are 7,000 people in that arena tonight. The announced crowd for the Quebec Remparts game of the QMJHL for last night was 8,182. So they are drawing more for junior hockey in Quebec than they are for semi-professional hockey in Florida. They gave out they were going to give out posters tonight to the first 5,000 people. They had to throw out 4,000 posters.
Oh man, that is embarrassing.
That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing.
I've seen more at Wolfpack games.
Oh yeah.
I mean, and it's pretty empty at the Wolfpack games too.
I've played roller hockey games in front of bigger crowds than that.
Oh boy, that's bad. Oh, is that bad?
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty upsetting. All right, 646-478-4692 is the number. One more thing before we get to Steve, I want to get this out there. Thursday night's game against the Blues. After the first intermission, we have the infamous. I just love the MSG 150, the fastest 150 seconds in hockey.
You've had issues with this in the past, by the way.
Oh, I know. I have a lot of issues. First of all, it's the fastest 150 seconds in hockey, and half of it's about the Knicks. That's my first problem with it.
Right.
My second problem with it is Bill Pito, who is as big a tool as there could possibly. Enough with the catchphrases. I love
the Pito
bottle. Oh, my God. A do-si-do, and here we go. I just want to punch him in the snot nozzle.
But he's been doing that for years when he was on ESPN2 with
sucks.
Barry Melrose.
He sucks. But anyway, so I'm watching this MSG 150 thing, right? The fastest 150 seconds in hockey. And do you know what they showed?
No, I don't know. I'm afraid
they show the Los Angeles Kings banner ceremony, and they showed a cup coming down from the center right. Now, where have I seen that? Do I have to see this? Do I have to have? When I was in my teens and my 20s, and even for part of my 30s, I was an extraordinarily bad loser. At times I still am, but I have been extraordinarily gracious in losing the Stanley Cup to the Los Angeles. Do I have to have my nose rubbed in shit about this? And then to make it even worse, they're showing the game at MSG. And then Sam says, oh, the fans are applauding because the St. Louis Cardinals baseball team are here in the building. And they show Yadier Molina, who hit a home run off the 2006 Mets, that I don't think that ball's landed yet. So once again, MSG, my home network, is rubbing my nose in shit. Do I need this? No, I don't need this. MSG.
You think they
would? Fuck MSG.
During the Yankee games, do they go to Michael Kay or some Schmendrick from Yes and say, oh, by the way, let's see the Red Sox lifting the World Series. No!
Right.
This is our Al Jazeera network.
Put
our propaganda on it. There should be no mention of the L.A. Kings ever.
Do you think on Canadians Open night, in between periods, they said, oh, here, let's check out some highlights of the Eastern Conference champion New York Rangers. Let's show their brand new banner up in Madison Square Garden. Do you think they did that on Rogers Net or CBC or whatever Canadian channel, the Hunting Network, whatever they're showing hockey on up there? No. It's like
stupid. I'm going to write that guy a letter. Is that what you do nowadays? Or you tweet him or something? Pedophile, he should have a segment called The Pedophile, I think. I write a letter? So who do I write a letter to nowadays?
Nobody. Nobody's listening.
Nobody's
fucking listening. Hey, you think they see, oh, Guy Gronkowski, that goes right into garbage. We don't need to read this letter.
I got to tell you, I was waiting for when they introduced the whole Ranger organization there? I was waiting for Rosasco. I knew you would blow, and part of the PR, public relations, John Rosasco, if they would have said his name, you
ceremony.
Would have blew again. No, they didn't do it.
NHL Network didn't show the ceremony.
Oh,
they would not
okay.
show not 1 second. Of that ceremony. They sat with their studio, this dumb hometown hockey studio, sat there for 20 minutes just rambling on about how great the Leafs are. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh boy, these guys are going to eat their words tonight.
Well, you know what? Well, it was nice, the ceremony. I mean, even though they didn't raise any banner, they showed a light on it, which was dumb, because they had already risen the banner or lifted the banner, whatever you say.
Did you think there should have been a little ceremony, a little something? Hey, let's hoist the banner up real fast.
How many times do the Rangers make the Stanley Cup? Every 20 years. Before that, that's what really happens. There should have been a little something.
I understand they don't want to celebrate finishing second, but a 5-minute video tribute to a team that had a miraculous run. I mean, that was in their history, that was a historic run. 3-1 down against Pittsburgh, and then take Montreal out in six. A little 5-minute video tribute, throw the banner up, play a Billy Joel song.
I mean, they were cheering for anything. First of all, the Rangers came back down 2 games to the Penguins and won a series. And at the time we said this, how many times have we ever seen that? Never! I remember the Rangers being down in the playoffs series, bring 2 games and coming back against the team that was favored to win the conference and win, go to the cup. They did that. We're just going to shine a light on the banner, which was dumb. And a lot of people were like, oh, well, we really want to have a banner. I mean, they didn't win it. Well, it's right next to the Atlantic Division Championship banner, which that certainly should not be up there. Just winning the division is not banner-worthy as far as I'm concerned.
Teams hang banners for their – I don't know. If it's an accomplishment. If you win, if you win your division or you win your conference, I don't know. Lots of teams have have all different banners for that stuff. I got no problem with that. But, I don't know, 5 minutes? The whole thing could have taken 5 minutes. A little video tribute.
And what they did,
whatever.
Well, what they did is then they introduced each player. First of all, they all said all the guys who weren't playing, and it was longer than the people who were playing. And then they all went all – each one went at center ice and formed the circle, and then they did the stick thing, which I thought was really cool. I was like, this is better than them just lining up at the blue line and, like, you know. And it was good, but they should have had the tribute. They should have had that 5-minute video tribute. I'm not saying invite, you know, Messier back and let's have the whole thing. But and also I thought who seems to be really rebounding, just to totally digress, is John Amarante had the blue suit, did both national anthems, looks stronger than ever. So I think
good.
Whatever was bothering him a couple of years ago, he may outlast us all. But yes, we didn't talk about that. I'm glad you brought that up. But they definitely should have had a tribute. That's dumb. You make the cup. That's an accomplishment. I don't know.
Well, good. I'm glad to know I wasn't the only one. I mean, I guess we only got to wait another 34 years for our next banner raising ceremony.
Your right, codes, the whole thing, and nothing. Okay.
Let's get to the phone
and wrap this up.
All right. If you want to get a last call, it's 646-478-4692, and let's bring Steven on. Steven, this is you, right?
Yep, that's me.
How are you,
hey,
sir? Steve. Welcome to the program. Thank you for holding for so long.
No problem. What I wanted to talk about quick was I was listening to the NHL Network, and they said that Carolina Hurricanes, for their home opener, had 16 scouts at the game, and they've never heard of anything of a home opener of an NHL season for so many scouts at a game. And one of them, they went over a list of who was there. One of them was a Ranger scout. So do you think they might be making a move for like a Sakara or a defenseman?
Well, I think over the summer we certainly heard that. Now I don't know with the Rangers being in a defensive hole, is that the fact that Mark Stahl has been mentioned going there for eons. I mean, not eons, but since the summer, and you know, he's in his contract year, so maybe they were. They're looking to make
possible
a deal.
They're going to dump everybody. They don't want Stahl. They want like young guys like Fast or Haggerty or, you know, maybe even John Moore. But we'll see.
Yeah, they probably didn't want to get invested in an older player like Stahl, but still, it's interesting, you know. I think
especially
the Rangers do have
playing.
Some. Yeah,
keep
I mean,
like 2 days or 4-3 days.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, what do you think? What's your feeling? Do you think
he's a left defenseman, Sakara? So I mean, it's another left-handed defenseman, but I mean. The guy had 44 points last year for a bad Carolina team. So he had 11 goals, you know. He's probably another good power play defenseman. And with Boyle out for 6 weeks, I think it would be a great move for them.
I certainly would have no problem. And, again, dealing young guys, everybody's a little bit wary of. But I'm not a big JT Miller fan. I mean, I don't.
That's another one, yeah.
I was enamored with him early. But then I kind of just, you know, I look at the stats. I don't see the stats backing up all the hype about this guy. And I don't see it on the ice either. And Fast is kind of, you know, I think he still the leash is a lot longer with him with me than it is with JT Miller. I know JT Miller is young, but you can be young and stink or not be as good as you hope or not reach your ceiling. Or maybe this is his ceiling. This is the same thing we had with Michael Delzato. People didn't want to move him because he was so young. Well, there was a reason. You know, the guy declined really early. He peaked at 20. I mean, that's basically it. So I would definitely consider that trade. I would definitely.
Oh, yeah, cap room it fits because we have like 1.6 available, and I think Sakara makes 2.7. So we would just need to move $1 million, which would probably either be Miller or Fast.
Well, Steven, let me ask you two questions. And this has nothing to do with your original question, but I'm always, you know, I want to garner everybody's opinion here. What do you think so far of Tanner Glass?
And, well, answer that question first, because I frankly forgot the second question.
You know, every time I think of Tanner Glass, I think of Jan Brady's boyfriend, George Glass, the one she made up.
That's right. George is on the phone.
And I just, I don't know, he's been a little bit invisible, I think. I think
he's not been that guy, that forechecker, that guy I really, you know, that grinder that I have really thought he
it's possible Stepniak is overshadowing him, you know, because he's playing so well. So Glass is just like, okay, I'll just be over here if you need me.
I don't know.
I'd like to see Malone. I'm hoping Malone does play.
Well, that was going to be my second question is, I mean, I find it disturbing if indeed Alain Vigneault said that he doesn't see where Ryan Malone fits. I mean, is it this early to say I don't know where Ryan Malone fits?
I
mean,
he must have pissed off AV somehow, because I thought he had a good preseason too.
Yeah. Well, you know, again,
tell Cutter to shut up.
Well, we have the clip actually. Where is that shut up Cutter clip? Should always have it handy.
Shut up, Cutter!
So, God, he's
hopefully, Glass has been invisible. I'm hoping they maybe put him alone to pump up that line a little bit.
I agree. I like the size factor, too. You know. So, tomorrow night, the Islanders get their cup champion. I mean, get their cup game against the Rangers. And I'm sure around here I'll be seeing a lot of Islander fans with their...
Is that the undefeated Islanders?
The undefeated New York Islanders. Break them
up.
Yeah,
all the way to 2-0.
Ryan Strome and company.
All right, guys. You have a great night. Thanks.
Take care, Steve.
Bye.
All right. Steve Nola. For those of you that don't know, created a Twitter account just for the radio show. And, Eddie, I didn't even get a chance to tell you this, so I don't know if you saw it on. And I'm going to send you the info so that you can tweet from it as well. At Blue Shirt Radio is now specifically for anything show-related, the Rangers, obviously. That's where we'll be tweeting during games. You guys know I like to tweet during games. The same goofy shit that you see on my account, instead you will now see on at Blue Shirt Radio. I know a lot of you have already followed. We got 400 new followers yesterday. So thank you for that. We appreciate it. And Eddie, I'll give you access to that so that you can. You need to make your return
cool.
to Twitter. We miss you on Twitter.
Yeah, I was thinking about that over the weekend. I got to tweet more. I wish I was like Stan Fischler and could have somebody tweet for me.
Hire somebody to tweet for you?
Yeah, like, you know, I could just call somebody up and they could tweet. Because by the time I look down, the moment has passed and I type real slow and, you know. But I should get back on it, you know. But I didn't mention this in the show, but my brother is dating this young woman who is a gigantic Ranger fan. Like, my brother took off his jersey in the middle of the St. Louis game, and then St. Louis scored, and she said, put that jersey back on. She's that crazy about the Rangers. So I'm happy. I think you should marry that woman.
I like her already.
Yes. No, she's not gigantic. That isn't big.
That's where I thought you were just like... You just
no,
said,
no, no,
she
no. She's
is
actually
a,
very
she
small.
She is a gigantic. And then you stopped, and I'm like... I hope there's something else
she's
coming here.
Ranger fan.
Clear that up. Let's clear that up.
She was even over here. Although, her favorite player from last year was Brad Richards, so then I was a little worrisome, but maybe she saw all those naked photos of him in ESPN magazine. I don't know. I just thought I'd throw that in.
Well, look, a lot of people like you for the same reason they saw your naked photos in ESPN, so we could really understand the appeal, right?
Well, you know, before I tore my meniscus and missed the 88 Olympics, I mean, I was in good physical shape. That was the 76. Which one did we boycott? Was that the 80? I forgot.
80 in Moscow.
Oh, 80. I was in the 80s.
You were all set to go. You were packed and ready.
Yes, I was all set to go. And so. All right, my brother, man. Great show. Time flew, and it was fantastic.
Yes, it was a fun show. And also, for those of you that are in our Facebook group, I am going to post an October and November show schedule. And you'll see it also tells you when the games are and when our shows are, with the time. And the times on the calendar are Eastern time, just so you know. Our next show will be back next Monday night. So that's it. Follow us on Twitter. Find us on Facebook. You can follow me on Instagram, JRS1940. We love you. Good night, everybody.